Today we're going to look at another one of those hidden spirits. Though when I talk to you about it, you're going to say, well, that isn't too hidden. I see that thing all the time. And it is the hidden spirit of fear. There are sometimes bad things happen to godly people because of the spirit of fear. Now, we're going to learn some things today about fear that you may or you may not have realized. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that is our scripture that I'm going to read for you today. And the word of the Lord says, for God has not given us the spirit of what? But of power and love and self-discipline. You know, the most frequent command of Jesus in the New Testament was not, you shall not commit adultery, though you should not commit adultery. The most frequent command of Jesus was not, you must be born again, though you must be born again. Would it surprise you to learn that the most frequent command that Jesus gave was, fear not. Was fear not. More than you shall not commit adultery, more than you should be born again, more than any other command that he gave the command most frequently, fear not, or do not be afraid. Do you realize when you study the subject of fear in the Old and the New Testament that there are no less than 200 prominent figures in the kingdom of God that God had to command and remind them, do not be afraid. Over 200 people. And so if 200 men and women of God, men and women that God used tremendously to accomplish miraculous things, had to be reminded, don't be afraid, then guess what? You need to be reminded and I need to be reminded, don't be afraid. But what is this spirit of fear that gets embedded in our life and causes bad things to come into our life because of it? Well, there's five things that I want to call to your attention that'll help you and it will help me to recognize the spirit of fear. And it's not enough just to recognize it. You got to know how to eliminate it. Amen? How many would like to be able to leave here today having eliminated the spirit of fear from your life? All right. Well, let's move on. And the first principle that I want to call your attention to is what I call the identification of fear. We need to spend a moment giving an identification to fear. The identification of fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, there will be three things that we will learn in identifying the spirit of fear. First of all, fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. Now that's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 it says, for God has not given us a what? A spirit of what? Fear. Now if God calls it a spirit, what should we call it? A spirit. If we try to deal with fear in any other way than what it is, then we'll never deal with fear for what it is. It is a spirit. Now, what do we mean by it being a spirit? Well, it means it's a demon. It means it is one of the fallen angels. And the fallen angels have assignments and they have responsibilities of doing terrible things to you, to me, to your family, to my family, to all of society. So the first principle that we see in trying to identify fear is that fear is a spirit. But here's number two. Fear is not only a spirit. Fear is a spirit God has not given us. Fear is a spirit God did not give to us. Now, if God did not give it to us, then we must have got it somewhere else. Now let me ask you this. Is there anybody within the sound of my voice, is there anybody within the sight of my face that's never been afraid in your life? Hey, God, hey, no hands went up then. Every single one of us have had an encounter with fear. And every single one of us have been intimidated by fear. It could have been as early as this morning. It could have been as late as last night. Or it could have been somewhere last week. Or guess what? When you leave here today, that old spirit of fear that God did not send is waiting on you. And it's going to try to do something to you. So in identifying fear, we have to understand that it's a spirit. It's a spirit God did not give you. But number three, fear is a spirit that wants to do something to you. Fear is a thief that steals, that kills, and destroys. So if you understand that fear is a spirit, it's a spirit God did not give to you, and it's a thief that steals, kills, and destroys, would you say amen? All right, I've got more I want to say about that, but in just a moment, in a different context. So we see the identification of fear. It's a spirit. It's a spirit God did not give to you, and it's a thief. It's got some things it wants to steal from you. It's got some things it wants to destroy about you. It's got some things it wants to kill about you. But number two, not only the identification of fear, now let's spend a moment talking about the definition of fear. The definition of fear. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 describes it pretty well for us. And here's what it says. It says, there is no what? Fear. There's no spirit of fear. There's no demonic spirit in what? In love. But perfect love cast out what? Fear. Now, why does a fear need to be cast out? Fear needs to be cast out because it's a spirit. It needs to be cast out because it's a spirit God did not give you. It needs to be cast out because it's a thief that steals, that kills, and destroys. So there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And why does it cast out fear? Because fear has a cousin. And what is fear's cousin? Torment. There's a spirit of torment that will come along with the spirit of fear. Because fear has torment, and the one who what? Fears is not what? Perfected in agape, in unconditional, unchallenged, unrivaled fear. Now, we've described it, and we've given you some things that need to be done, but we haven't really defined it yet. So what kind of a definition can I give you today that would stay with you and would help you to tell somebody else when you leave today what the definition of fear is? Here it is. Just using the letters fear, F-E-A-R, I think this will stay with you. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Do you remember one of the times when Jesus had put the disciples in the boat? And he put them in the boat and told them to go to the other side and he'll meet them there. And they got in the boat because Jesus told them to. They went to the other side. And while they're going to the other side, all of a sudden Jesus comes walking by on the water. And what was the response of the disciples? They were afraid. And they cried out and said, it's a what? It's a ghost. You see, that's false evidence that it appeared real to them. They thought Jesus walking into the midst of their storm. They thought Jesus walking in the midst of their crisis. They thought Jesus walking in the middle of their problem was a ghost. And it seemed so real. How many of you know that you've had some times of fear in your life, and whatever it is that you were afraid of, it was really false evidence that appeared real to your mind? If I can put a thought in your mind, I can get you to feel a certain way. And that's what the demonic spirit does, is when that demonic spirit of fear is in your life, no matter what the circumstance is, That demonic spirit of fear is going to give you some false evidence to your mind. It's going to appear real, and you're going to be afraid. And when you get afraid, fear has torment. And torment must be cast out. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, fear and anger are similar in this way. Anger always has an object. I don't see any recognition of affirmation right there. Anger always has an object. Think about the last episode of anger you had. Who was the object of your anger? Anger always has an object, but it's not always the right object. But whenever you're angry, you're going to have an object that you're angry at. Now, that's another sermon in and of itself. But fear always has an object as well. There's always an object attached or affiliated with your fear. Now, there are as many fears as there are people in this room. There are as many fears as there are people in the world. But all fears can be put into one of three categories. You will either have a fear of people, a fear of dying, or a fear of Satan. A fear of people, a fear of dying, or a fear of Satan. Now, in the Bible, King Saul was anointed by God to be the king. But he lost his anointing because of his fear of people. Listen to what he said after he had disobeyed a direct command of God. And after he disobeyed a direct command of God, he lost his anointing. The Spirit departed from him, and he would never be the same again. And when Samuel, the prophet of God, came, listen to what Saul said. Saul said, "I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and I listened to their voice." You see, fear always has an object. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 118:5. "From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes." Amen? But a timid person, a fearful person might say, "Well, I'll tell you what man can do to me. They can fire me from my job. They can abuse me. They can even kill me." But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell." If we do not take our refuge in the Lord, then the fear of people will begin to control our lives. Death is the ultimate fear object. And that fear object of death looms over virtually every person at some point in their life. But once you become a Christian, you should never suffer the fear of death again. Why? Because Jesus has defeated death. He faced death. He stared it down. And death could not hold him in the ground. When Jesus came up from the dead, he stepped up out of those grave clothes. And I believe he was shouting, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, sting, where is your sting? I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's why the Apostle Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When you think about your fear of people, when you think about your fear of dying, what's the worst thing that could ever happen to you? Well, I could die. Well, we need to realize and then begin to live like we believe the Bible when it teaches us that death is the best thing could ever happen to a child of God. If God says your time on this earth is up and he takes you out of this life, then you have gained from your death. But until then, I am going to be present with the Lord here on the earth. The person who's free from the fear of death is actually free to begin to live in all of the abundance that God has for them. Amen? And the third thing that people fear is Satan. It's Satan. God never commands us to fear Satan. As a matter of fact, he's given us strategic and powerful weapons to overcome Satan and anything he would bring against us. Amen? God does tell us to submit to him, to God. And when we resist the devil will tuck his tail between his legs and he'll run like a scalded dog in the opposite direction. When you are equipped with the armor of God, filled with the Spirit of God, releasing the authority of the Word of God. Amen? So, what does the devil try to get us to do? He tries to get us not to believe who we are in Christ Jesus. So what's the definition of fear? It's false evidence that appears to be real in our minds. I want you to write this down right out beside that, okay? There are things that will appear real, but they will not be true. There are things that will appear real, but they will not be true. And the devil and demons specialize in manifesting things that seem real to you, but they are absolutely not true. And the devil plays in the what-if game. What if you do this? Then this is what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, when you begin to dialogue with the devil, when you begin to believe his scenario, there'll be false evidence appearing real in your mind, and it'll talk you out of obeying the Lord. It'll talk you out of believing the Lord, and it will paralyze you. Well, number three, let me move you to this one. I think you'll like this one. We see the identification of fear. We see the definition of fear. But number three, the manifestation of fear. The manifestation of fear. Now, when and where and how does fear manifest itself in our life? 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in what? But perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment, and the one who fears is not perfected or matured in love. Here's something that I've learned about fear. Fear is always developed in our past. Fear is always developed in our past. Now what is fear? Fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit God has not given us. And fear is a thief that will steal, that will kill, and to destroy. So what do I mean about fear being developed in our past? That means at some point in time in your previous years on earth, you learned how to listen to fear. You learned how to experience fear. Let me tell you one of the classics that parents used to use. I hope they don't use it anymore. You be careful. That boogeyman's going to get you. What is that doing? What does that do? It's putting fear. I mean, the spirit of fear looked around and said, hey, boys. She just opened the door wide open for us to go in here. And that means if I go over here, then whatever a boogeyman is, the boogeyman's going to get me. And so what happens is we begin to get preconditioned with fear. And the spirit of fear comes along as a thief. And it steals from you your identity. It steals from you your security. It steals from you your peace. It steals from you your comfort. It steals from you all of the things that you think are protecting you. And then when a demonic spirit is roaming in the house and in our children, they dialogue with our children, and the children think that the boogeyman is under the bed or the boogeyman's in the closet, then the parents, they go in and they laugh at the children and said, oh, you're crazy. You're just nonsense. You're just a coward. You know, you're just not wanting to go to sleep. And then when the parent leaves, then the demon spirit says, see, they don't believe you. But I'll protect you if you'll do this for me or that for me. And so then fear, which is a spirit, has now come into the little child's life and becomes a companion with them for the rest of their life. Well, let me tell you, we said that fear has three primary categories that fall into fear of dying, fear of man, and fear of Satan. Let me tell you three fears that I have, three fears that struggled and influenced my life for a long time, and let's see if you identify with them as well. The first fear that I have and have struggled with and learning some things about fear in the last several years have helped me to identify these things. And the first fear that I have is the fear of rejection. Now, ultimately, that comes under the category of fear of man. A man rejected me, and that will hurt me if I'm rejected. The second fear that I have that I struggle with is the fear of failure. And the third fear that I have is the fear of being controlled. Now, in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation, in whatever relationship is present, whenever you have a fear of failure and you begin to sense that failure is a possibility, you're going to respond or react in a certain way. If you have the fear of rejection in the relationship, and you're going to respond in a certain way to the possibility of you being rejected. And when you have the fear of being controlled, whenever you're in a relationship and you're feeling as if you're about to be controlled, you're going to respond a certain way. So fear is developed in the past. Do you get that? Say amen. Number two. Let me tell you number two. Fears that have been developed in the past will be triggered in the present. Will be triggered in the present. In other words, in some life circumstance, in some personal relationship, something will happen that will trigger whatever you fear. That fear was put into your past, no matter what it was. But something will happen in the present, and it will trigger that fear. And all of a sudden, when the fear is triggered, fear becomes a monster. Now, let me show you how fear of rejection operates in a man's life. Marie, would you stand up here with me? This is my beautiful wife of 38 years. Miracle of miracles. I remember a day over 38 years ago that we were standing much like this. I remember where we were at. And our love had grown to the place that we were thinking about becoming husband and wife. And this great, big, bold, strapping athlete, a man's man right here, had a fear that he didn't want her to know about, and that was the fear of being rejected in this marriage proposal. And so as we were standing together by that lake, looking at those pretty blue eyes, I mastered all the courage I could get, and I said, Marie, if I were to ask you to marry me, what do you think you'd say? Why would a man ask a question like that? Why would he ask one of the most important questions to one of the most important people in our life? If I were to ask you to marry me, what do you think you'd say? Why? The fear of rejection. The fear of rejection and the fear of failure. That's right there. So ladies, how should you answer that if a man wants to half step on that proposal for you? Learn from the first lady here. The first lady said, first lady, what did you say?
When you ask me, I'll tell you.
If you ever man up and you ask me in a proper way, I'll tell you the answer to that question. But till then, you find a way to deal with that fear. And so you see the manifestation of fear. It's developed in our past. But it's triggered by something in the present. Now, you won't walk around with this fear dominating your life until there's something in your present that could hurt you, that could kill you, or could put you in bondage. For example, if you have a fear of snakes, you're not living in that panic and cold sweat unless Pastor Darrell goes and gets a box out from over here and said, all right, it's time for the snake ministry. Then all of a sudden, that fear that was developed in your past is triggered. And now all of a sudden, you get cold sweat drops popping all over here. And you're saying, I ain't got time for that, and I'm getting out of here. So do you see how that fear manifests itself? This demonic spirit, it doesn't mind being idle. It doesn't mind being hidden. It doesn't mind being silent for a season. Because it knows that there are certain triggers of your fear of man, of your fear of dying, of your fear of Satan, that will trigger a response from you, and it will paralyze you. And it's not that things couldn't hurt you. It's not that things that couldn't dominate you. It's not that things that couldn't do that. There are. But you've got to learn how you deal with the spirit of fear, the manifestation of fear. Let me show you a fourth thing about fear as we move quickly here. And it's what I call the devastation of fear. Fear can be devastating to your life and to my life, to your worship and my worship, to your witness and my witness, to your opportunities and my opportunities. Let me just show you this classic example of how the spirit of fear came on Peter when he was in miracle ground. Your Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were what? They were terrified. And they said, it's a what? It's a ghost. And what did they do? They cried out in what? In fear. But immediately, what did Jesus do? Jesus spoke to them saying, take what? Take courage. And do not be what? Afraid. Now, there's what happened in that is Peter, he says, Lord, if that is really you, then invite me to come out of this boat and walk on water with you. And verse 29, Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the what? Walked on the water. And what did he do? He came toward Jesus. You know, that's all that Peter really wanted here is to be closer to Jesus. If I can get closer to Jesus, I want to be closer to Jesus. And if I got to have a miracle to do it, I'll take a miracle to do it. If I got to suspend the laws of nature, I'll suspend the laws of nature. If I've got a word from Jesus, if I got an invitation from Jesus, I'm going to get out of the natural, I'm going to get into the supernatural, and I'm going to walk in a miracle. Oh my goodness, and Peter got out of the boat walking on a miracle, walking on water. He came toward Jesus. Look at verse 30. What's the first word in verse 30? Uh-oh, here we go with but again. But seeing the what? Seeing the wind, he became what? You see, what is the devastation that comes to your life and to my life whenever fear, which is a spirit that God has not given us, which is a thief that wants to steal, to kill, and destroy, what is the devastation that comes from that? Fear will take you out of a miracle and put you back in the natural. Fear will steal your miracle from you. Fear will steal your healing from you. Fear will steal your victory. It'll steal your breakthrough. It'll steal your opportunity from you. Fear will put you in the grips of torment instead of the grace of Almighty God. Oh my goodness, does anybody hear that? You can live with your fear, but you'll never get in the supernatural. You can live with your fear, but you'll never experience the miracles. Because you cannot walk in a miracle without faith in Almighty God. And if God is not the object of your faith, then your fear, that demon spirit, the wind, the circumstances, the accusations, the rejection, the hurt, the intimidation, that's going to be your faith object. But God says, don't fear any of those things. Put your faith in Him. Amen? And immediately, when Peter became frightened, he began to what? Sink. I believe that the Holy Ghost told me today that there's some people that's beginning to sink. There's some people that's beginning to sink, that you've come close to a miracle. You've come close to the breakthrough. You've come close to the supernatural, but you got your eyes on everything around you rather than the one who's before you. And you're beginning to sink. And then you cry out, Lord, get me out of this miracle. You see, that's what Lord save me means. Lord, I don't want to be in this miracle anymore. It's too scary out here. I don't want to be in this supernatural. There's too many unknowns with it. How many of you know when you're walking in the supernatural, you won't have all the answers? When you're walking in the glory of God, you won't have everything that fits in your reasoning. And Peter says, oh, Lord God, I'm afraid. And torment is getting the best of me right here. And Lord, I've been successful long enough. It didn't last but 2 minutes, but I've been successful long enough. Nobody else got out of the boat with me. I've got a story to tell. That's enough for me. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said, oh, you of little what? Why did you doubt? And so immediately, God took him out of the miracle and put him back where his flesh was comfortable, put him back in the boat. Fear is a thief. It will steal your miracle. What miracle are you needing that the spirit of fear is trying to steal from you? The devastation of fear is that fear, that fear steals your miracle. Can you give them that next screen up there so they can fill that in? All right, number five. What about the elimination of fear? I see the identification of it. I see the definition of it. I see the manifestation of it. I recognize the devastation of it. But I want to know about the elimination of it, Pastor. How can we eliminate fear from our life? Would you like to have that answer today? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God reminds us, He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. What's the first thing we need to do if we want to eliminate the spirit of fear from our life? Number one, you have to analyze your fear. You have to spend a moment and saying, is this a fear of man? Is this a fear of dying? Is this a fear of Satan? Is this a fear of rejection? Is it a fear, you know, is it a fear of being controlled? Is it a fear of failure? What is the fear? You know, some people have a fear of airplanes, but their fear is not really of airplanes. Their fear is dying in an airplane. Some people have a fear of spiders, but their fear is not really of the spider. It's a fear of being hurt by the spider. Some people have a fear of bees and wasps. But it's not a fear of the bee or the wasp. It's that little eighth of an inch of enthusiasm on the end of the bee or the wasp that can hurt you. And we don't want that. And so analyze your fear. Analyze your fear. But then number two, when you analyze your fear, you got to enthrone the Lord. Determine your response. I'm sorry. You got to determine your response. You got to make up in your mind, the next time this spirit of fear manifests itself in my life, how am I going to respond to it? How am I going to respond the next time this dirty dog thief of a lying spirit that has torment with it comes and wants to take my joy from me, wants to take my peace from me, wants to take me out of my miracle? How am I going to respond to that this next time? Years and years ago, with Andy Griffith, Opie had a bully that was taking his lunch money. And taking that lunch money from him, Andy was telling Opie, you're going to have to face that bully. And you're going to have to tell that bully, you're not having my lunch money today. And Opie had a fear of being beaten up by the bully. And Andy asked him, he said, why do you let that bully take your lunch money? Because he says he's going to beat me up. And so he says, well, he says, you got to decide whether you want to eat or get beaten up. And when your hunger and your pride, you know, mean more to you, and self-respect mean more to you than giving into this bully, then you're going to have to light into that bully. You're going to have to light into it, and you're going to have to stand your ground. He says, well, he'll hit me. He said, yeah. but he won't take your lunch money anymore. And so anyway, fast forward through 30-minute show. At the end of the show, Opie comes in with a black eye, but a smile on his face and a handful of money. And he says, well, what happened, Opie? He said, I tore into him like a windmill in a tornado. And he hit me, but I hit him back, and I'd have hit him some more, but he was running down the street. You got to decide what you're going to do when that spirit of fear comes up against you the next time. And he might hit you, but I want to tell you, the next thing you see about him is you'll take back what he stole from you, and he'll be running the other direction down the road. Amen? Well, how do you do that? How do you know that, Pastor? Because of number three, you're going to be living by enthroning the Lord in your life. There's no room for the spirit of fear and the Holy Spirit in your life. There's no room for the for God Himself and the demon spirits to be running your life. In Psalm 91:1, it says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust, for it is He who delivers me from the snare of the enemy and from the deadly pestilence. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh, analyze your fear. Know what source it is. And you've got to make sure that you have predetermined your response. And then enthrone the Lord over every area of your life. And then the fourth thing you've got to do is you've got to renounce the spirit. You've got to renounce that spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the fortress, the shield, and the strength of my life. I refuse to be intimidated by the spirit of fear any longer. You've not given me a spirit of fear. By your presence in my life, I have power, I have love, and I have self-discipline. Spirit of fear, I renounce you and I remove you from my mind. In Jesus' name, you depart from me right now. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Enthrone the Lord with your praises. Now let me ask you, are you ready to respond to the spirit of fear that's trying to keep you from your miracle? I believe that there are some that's been in the storm-tossed boat. And Jesus has walked into your circumstance. And fear has tried to tell you that's not the Lord coming into your circumstance. Fear is false evidence that appears real in your mind. But you've got to come and say, in the name of the Lord, I refuse to be afraid any longer. I am going to obey the Lord. I am going to worship the Lord. I'm going to ask if you can to stand to your feet right now. Shay, if you can put that last one of renouncing the spirit back up there for us, please. If you want to renounce that spirit of fear from your life, I want you to say that out loud. I want you to say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are the fortress, shield, and strength of my life. I refuse to be intimidated by the spirit of fear any longer. You have not given me a spirit of fear. By your presence in my life, I have power, love, and self-discipline. And now, spirit of fear, I renounce you and remove you from my mind. I am a child of the King. I've been washed in the blood. I've been sealed with the Spirit. And I am a soldier. I am a warrior. I am victorious. I am a child of the King. And from this day forward, torment and fear will leave my life. Now say, Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence right now. In Jesus' name, I will obey you. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.